Well, we may be few this afternoon, but with the help of the Lord, we'd like to look into a passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. We're just going to pick up, and this morning we were almost finished, but I just felt like the Lord was finished for this morning. We're just going to pick right back up. We're going to begin in 1 Chronicles 29, and again, remember where we've been in Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord asked the question, who will go for me? Who shall we send? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And the question was asked. And so now with that in mind, let's turn over to 1 Chronicles in the 29th chapter. And remember that David had been working on getting material to build a temple. And because he was a man of war, God did not want him to physically be the one to build the temple. And that's what Solomon did. So he knew that the work of the building was going to Solomon. But David did not sit back and say, well, if I can't build it, then I just won't do anything. But David had a desire and a heart to see this work accomplished. So he spent his time, and he had all of the goods brought in from around the world, really, from different countries. He had wood brought in. He had the stones. He had things being brought in and the offering set up. So when it was time for Solomon to start the building, that all the material was there. And there is a side note that is good for us to remember. That sometimes, obviously, God gives all of us a different call. But there are some things God may say, this isn't your place. And when God tells you that it's not your place to do something, it's not time. Some people say, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home. And they can spiritually pout. Well, if I can't do what I want, then I'm not doing anything at all. This was a man, David, had such a vision of the temple. And such a burden for the work that he did what he could to assist in that project. If more people would have that kind of vision for the work of God, it's like, well, if I can't do this, I'm not doing anything. Do what you can. What is before you? Scripture says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. So David is exhorting the people in 1 Chronicles. And he said, furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender. And the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all of my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things that are gold. And he went through the things that he got together. He got together material lists. And he began to gather material. And then verse 3, he said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And then he went on to talk more about what he brought. And at the end of verse 5, he asked a question. He said, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And that is a question I would like us, by the help of the Lord, to take home with us this week. Who is willing to consecrate their service to the Lord? The Lord asked the question, you know, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who's going to go? Who's going to do it? And Isaiah had the answer. Now, we've heard the call, but we are left with what answer we're going to give. And Isaiah, if you will recall, said, here am I. Here am I, send me. When there is work to be done, it seems like that's a time folks start scattering. There's work to be done. But the Lord wants us to volunteer our service and be willing to offer ourselves and say, Lord, do you have something for me to do? There's work to do. Here I am, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And that is similar to what David said. He did everything in his might for the building of the temple, and then he entreated the people. He said, Solomon is young. In other words, he can't do everything by himself. You know, sometimes it's easier to let everybody else do the work or someone else. More often than not, in work that is accomplished, whether it's on the job or in the congregation, more often than not, it's two or three people, whether the congregation is big or small. There are two or three people that generally are doing most of the work. Say, well, it's getting done, so I don't need to do it. But it would relieve the burden if all of us would say, Lord, here I am, send me. There's a job to be done. I'm not just going to expect someone else to do it, but I'm going to do everything in my power to do it. And you know, that would relieve the burden off of some people, and it would give us blessings when we present ourselves for the service of the Lord. Well, so he told the congregation, I've done everything I can, and my son needs some help. So is there anybody here that can help my son? Is there anybody that will be willing to consecrate their service? Folks, we need a vision of what the church is. We need a vision of the work of God. If we don't have a vision, there's nothing to work for. There's nothing to excite the spiritual passions, if you will. There's nothing to excite that in the gospel work, because we're just kind of going along in a form. But when we get a vision that there are souls around us that need help, there are people in this world that have never heard the gospel that all of us here are used to hearing. There are people that have never heard it. And there have been so many people I've shared a little bit of truth with, and they looked at me just amazed, thinking, wow, I've never heard this before. The message of what the church is out in Babylon, when people start hearing that message, it's exciting. Because in a lot of foreign countries as well as here, but in a lot of foreign countries, it's about preaching, it's about the money, it's about position, it's about power, and that's what they hear and see in society. And you begin to talk to them about what the church really is, and they're amazed. You all have that gospel. You know that, you understand that, but if you can get a personal vision of it, and then offer yourself and say, Lord, I'm here. Do you have anything for me to do? Do you know, young people and children, it's nice when, I know sometimes your parents tell you something to do, say, I'd like you to do the dishes. I want you to sweep the floor. I want you to fold the laundry. But do you know how wonderful it is when you come up of your own volition, not because you have a list that you have to get done, or you can't go do what you want till the work's done, just to come up and say, hey, Mom or Dad, I have some time. What can I do to help? Is there something I can do? Is there something that I can help relieve your burden? Can I do the dishes, Mom? Here, let me do those dishes for you. Here, Mom, let me take that broom from you. Do you know what a blessing that is to your parents? Do you know what a blessing it is for the Lord when we come and we tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. You have a job for me to do, Lord. Is there something I can do for you, God? And the Lord is looking down and there is a job for us. But it's not because we have to. It's because we have a privilege this afternoon of working for the Lord. There's something else, though. It's hard to get good help. You know that it's hard to find good help anymore. It's hard to find consistent help. It's hard. People say, well, oh yeah, volunteer, volunteer. You know what I've observed through the years? It's one thing to talk about working, and one thing to talk about volunteering, but I'll tell you, after the initial euphoria of the job is over, I'm going to go work for the Lord. I'm going to go do this. And after a while, you realize working for the Lord has more to do with consistency and dedication and discipline than it does that, oh, the fire's always burning bright, so I can't hardly sit still. Those times come, the blessings and the anointing of the Lord, but it takes dedication. When things are accomplished, it's not all the time by the one big time offerings or by the one time here I have a day I'll give to you. It is the consistent, faithful offering month after month. It is the consistent, I have time every week I'm giving my time to the Lord. So when he said, who is willing to consecrate their service, it wasn't just a one time thing. It's like dedication means when things get tough, I'm not stopping. When things get hard, I'm not throwing in the towel. If I have a vision for the work and I've heard the call of God, then it's going to keep me going. I will personally testify to you here, and this is just a few of us here, but I'm going to tell you, if it hadn't been for the call of God, I wouldn't be here in this congregation anymore. I would have left. But do you realize that when God gives you a call, and he gives you a burden, and you have a vision, when sometimes maybe things aren't going like you would like, there is something that will give you some stick-to-itiveness, because it's bigger than you and me. This is something that's spiritual, it's something from the Lord. Folks, all of us need that. I guarantee you, none of you would be at church here for the same reason. But there's something bigger than you and me. There's something, and that's not, I'm not picking on anybody. This is life. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what work it is. It doesn't matter what congregation you're in. There's some difficulties that come in life. But the Lord is looking for dependable people that will answer the call when He said, who's going to work for me? Are we willing to offer ourselves actively and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. And then when the Lord makes changes and makes moves, that's all right. But then it's done because God did it, not because of an emotional reaction to something. Does that make sense? Y'all understand that? It's important for us to listen to the call of God. And David said, who will consecrate? Who is willing? In other words, this isn't forced. I'm not forcing you to work for me. I'm not forcing you to do something for me. He said, who's willing? And that's where Isaiah offered himself and he said, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Would you? I'm willing, Lord. And God gave him the job. And I'll tell you, it wasn't a job with a lot of glory either. You know, sometimes people are excited thinking about and they think, oh, I can go across the ocean and take the gospel to the lost and there will be hundreds of people that will hear the truth in big altar service. Yes, I've been there, I've experienced that, but there's another side to that. There is loneliness, there is sickness, there's pain, there's rejection, there's lack of support, there's all of those things come with it. And you say, wait, Lord, what am I doing? I'm working for you, Lord. It's not about the euphoria. It's not about the appeal of the initial call. It's about consistent, dedicated service. You know, that's the backbone of any congregation as well. The backbone of any congregation are those that are diligent and faithful in the service of the Lord. And we're so thankful for everyone, but the Lord's saying, who will consecrate? Who will dedicate and say, Lord, I'm going to do everything that I can. I trust that we'll understand. And then Isaiah, he responded. He recognized that God had something for him to do. And it's interesting in the ninth verse here, of 1 Chronicles 29, the people heard David's appeal. And it said the people, they gave willingly. They offered willingly. In verse 9 said, the people rejoiced. For that they offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. You know this afternoon that there is a place. If we can catch a vision of the work, the gospel work, catch a vision of what it means to live a holy life. You know, it'll stand you in good stead when you're tempted to do otherwise. I have a vision of what it means to live a holy life. I have a vision for the work of God. You can look at someone that needs the gospel, and we could talk about, tell you stories of things that might pull on your heartstrings, and you know, that's what happens. Think about organizations that do fundraising. They will tell you stories that pull on your heartstrings. So hopefully, you know, someone will pull out their billfold and give a little bit, give some money, hopefully more than a little bit. But do you know what happens? An initial pull on the heartstrings doesn't pay the bills next month. Doesn't pay the bills next month. It takes people that catch a vision that for something that, oh, I'm willing to pay, I'm willing to give something, if I can see something happen overnight. But what about all the prep time and all the things that go into something in the gospel work that you don't see overnight? But it's consistent, dedicated. Our service to the Lord is the same way. Not just about money, but about our time. We need a vision. Because when we have a vision, it will endure some of these ups and downs that we face in living life. Now, they offered willingly and it said they rejoiced because they had a perfect heart. Young people, I want to just give you a little warning or caution here. You do not need to be afraid of consecrating yourself to the Lord. In other words, saying, if I totally say yes and I come to the Lord and say, because you children, if you get home today, you young people, Are you maybe have a little trepidation about just going to your parents and saying, hey, what would you like me to do? You kind of first like to hear what needs to be done and you can kind of choose what you want. We do not need to be afraid of telling the Lord, say, Lord, I'm here and I'm consecrating my life to you. whatever you want me to do, Lord. And do you know sometimes what the Lord has me do tomorrow is different than what He has me do today? But He's looking for dedicated service. Do not be afraid, young people, to place yourself in God's hands without reservation, without strings attached, and say, Lord, this is my answer. I heard the call, and I give myself to You. Whatever You want me to do, Lord, I will do it. Because God will not call you to do anything but that He gives you the grace to enable you to do it. And when you recognize, say, well, I don't have the answers or I'm not able to do that, who called you to do it? If you're doing it because it's what you wanted, then maybe it's self. But when it's God, He's going to give you and equip you with the ability to do what He wants you to do. So don't be afraid. And if there are things I've heard people say, well, I'm just afraid of that because God might call me to preach. Do you know what? God is not going to force. And I've heard some preachers say that. I haven't quite got it figured out. Because I've also found when God calls us to do something, we may say, oh, I don't want to do it. But Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. And you do it, you will find no greater fulfillment in life than doing what God has called you to do. You will find no greater fulfillment. So don't be afraid of placing it. God's not going to force you to do something that you're not able to do. He's not going to force you to do something that says, oh, I just won't do that. I just don't. Well, if God calls you, He's giving you an opportunity to give you greater blessings than you've ever experienced before. So who's willing to consecrate their service to the Lord? And they offered willingly, it says, and it said they rejoiced then because it wasn't coerced. But Lord, we wanted to give because we had a vision of this temple. So let me do what I can. I might not be able to do the carpentry work, but Lord, if I can bring a stone, if I can give something, if I can do what I can, maybe I can bring water to those that are working. Maybe I can bring some water. But Lord, I want to do what I can. There is no job too small or too big. When you see a need and God calls, we need some more Isaiahs. We need some more Isaiahs in this generation of people that will say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Thank you all for your attention this afternoon. God bless you and know that God will be faithful in His calls. But Lord, help us to be just as faithful in our answer to the call.